I have outlined the entire book of Ephesians so that you will be able to go through and make little notes and so forth, so that as we walk through that book, you will be able to make notes and then have something to keep that you can go back and reflect upon. So that's going to be a great study that you'll want to be a part of. I also need to ask the church, all of you, to pray for me. I have been developing for the last several months, as I always do. I work out into the future. Lots of messages. Normally, I'm out 3 or 4 months. And I had written about 15 messages on the parables of Christ. Each parable would be a Sunday, so that would take us out 15 weeks. And as I continue to go back over them, it just seems as though they are cold. And then in my personal devotion time, I have been in the book of James. And the book of James is tremendous. It's one of my favorite books. And I just really feel that there's a lot there that God wants for all of us to understand. And so he may do a switcheroo on me and have me preach out of the book of James. So as far as next Sunday goes, I don't know what to change the sign to. So please be in prayer for me. I really need his leading, and I know that he has been leading thus far on all the different series that we have preached. Tonight we're going to be concluding the series on dealing with life situations. Dealing with life circumstances and the storms of life. Tonight I want to talk about security through the storm. This morning we looked at the struggle that we all have. That the storms are unavoidable. They are unmerited many times. They are unstoppable. And so everyone that we know, including ourselves, go through these storms of life. And it's not just a storm, singular. There are many different forms of storms. And some of them overlap. It's not just a case of adversity. It's not a case of anger or a case of guilt or a case of rejection or a case of fear or a case of loneliness. All of these things can be tied together and mount on top of one another. And until we start sorting those things out, we are just a bundle of mess. And it's hard sometimes for us to sort those things out. And when we open our hearts to God, many times God is able to weed a few things out only to leave room for some other things to come in. How many times have you been praying for clarity? And yes, He answered the prayer for clarity on this thing, but now you have more questions about other things. And the clarity that He brought has now, there have been new answers that have arisen, or new questions, I should say, that have risen. That's the way our lives are sometimes. It is very cyclistic. It's hard for us to stay on the mountaintop. But you know, who would want to live on the mountain all the time? Who would like to have sunshine and no rain? Who would like to have just happy days and never have sorrow days? I really think that if we did not have those valleys of life, those storms of life, that we would not appreciate those nice sunny days. We wouldn't appreciate the serenity of being in a quiet place and hearing His voice. There is security through the storms. And tonight I want to talk about what that looks like. Because Israel had been walking with God. God had been leading them. He had been defending them. He had been providing for them. And of course they remember that, but it wasn't as though it happened yesterday, so it was so easy for them to slip out of remembrance and live the life that they were living today. Just like it is for us. Many times when we struggle and we make it through that struggle and through that storm, Yes, we thank the Lord and then we go on with our life, and our life sometimes resembles the life that we had before. And there's not a whole lot of change. God wants to make permanent changes in our lives. And in order for that to happen, sometimes we have to stay in that storm for an extended period of time so that our will is bent to His will. Now, I want you to know, first of all, tonight, that there is favor in the storms. Look with me in our main text at verse 9, if you would, please. He said, "In all of their affliction, He was afflicted, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and in His pity, He redeemed them, and He bore them and carried them all the days of old." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You. We thank You that Your Word is not only a roadmap, but it is an encouragement in our lives. And Father, we thank You that it is the entire reflection of who You are. Father God, we thank You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your Son that went to the cross at Calvary and would suffer and bleed and die that we would have eternal life. And Father, we are so thankful that You are always there with us, empowering us, encouraging us, leading us as we go through these storms of life. And Father God, we pray that every heart that is here tonight would be open to receive this message, and that we might truly understand the security that we can experience as we go through the storms of life. And we thank You now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel had, they hadn't really forgotten, but they weren't really living the remembrance of what God had done in their lives. And that's the way we are. That's the way we are sometimes when we've gone through a storm and we have gotten the resolve on this particular issue. Many times a month from now, our lives will resemble what they were before the storm. That's not what God is desiring. God is wanting permanent change. And He uses all of those things to bring about good in our lives. If that wasn't true, Romans 8:28 wouldn't be there, which says, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." So therefore, if all things are meant for good, all things mean good things and bad things that we would say bad. So then we have to sit back and try to figure out, God, if there's going to be favor in this storm, if we are truly in Your hand and no one can pluck us out of Your hand, if You mean all of these things to be good, then God, how am I to respond to You? The reason why there is favor in the midst of the storm is twofold. First of all, we get to know God in new ways. Write that down. You get to know God in new ways. Of course, we know Him as Savior. We know Him as Comforter. We know Him as our Defender. But can He truly be your Provider? I know that when I surrendered to preach, I worked for a Fortune 500 company. I know what Todd is going through. When God began to call me to preach, I said, "I can't preach. Who am I that I could stand in front of anybody? You know I don't like to do that. You know that I don't like to stand in front of people and that I have difficulty speaking at times. God, how could You call me to preach?" And what does that mean? Does that mean I need to give up my job and then His call would be louder? And that's what I told Todd yesterday. I said, "Todd, If He's truly calling you, that call only gets louder to where you cannot say no. Todd said when God started to knock, He just kind of went, oh, you know, not me. And that was it. And last week, He said, God, it was like He ran over me from the back. Just, and He's scared to death. He's frightened to death. He's fearing. Because He's saying at this point, who am I, God? I can't do this. I can't lead a group or start a network for parents of children that are special needs. How am I to do that? He's got all these questions and no answers. And see, that's where God wants us to walk by faith. So I ask God, what do you want me to do? He says, just sell out to me. Just lay it all down. And to me, that meant lay my keys on the desk of the president of ConAgra and say, here you go. I'm done. I'm out of here. And that's what I did. The next step was to go to the director of missions, Dr. T.O. Spicer, and I told him I surrendered to preach. He said, Craig, you've been on the executive board for a number of years of this association. You've been on several committees. You've been faithful to the association. He says, I will do my best, but let me give you one bit of advice. Don't quit your day job. And it was like, too late. He goes, oh no, are you kidding me? And I said, nope, I'm not kidding you. I quit yesterday. He goes, oh, if you can, go get your job back. I went, no. God doesn't want me to get my job back. Oh, Craig, he said, that could really be a mistake. And I said, well, then it's going to be on God. See, I knew God was my Savior. I knew He was my comforter. I knew He was my defender, but I'd never trusted Him to be my provider because I had a job and I could provide for myself. And God wanted to be that entity in my life that would provide my very means of existence for not only me, but my family. And I'm good with numbers. And still to this day, when I add things up, it doesn't match. But we never missed a payment. We never missed a meal. How God did that, I have no idea. But God provided. And in the midst of that storm, I got to know God in a new way that I'd never known Him before. I got to know Him as my provider. And then He says, I want you to be a tremendous witness. Okay, I can do that. No, not the way you're talking. I want you to be a witness through your life. And as I started to minister to people in the church, I've told you about the story about Rex, who used to work with me at ConAgra. And he was a binge drinker, and how he would pull a gun on me and play Russian roulette with me. And I was not fearful at the time. Every time he would spin that chamber and cock that hammer back and point that gun at me and pull the trigger, it would drop on an empty chamber. It didn't bother me. I was not afraid. For some reason. Afterwards, I was. But during that moment in time, I was not afraid. Because I knew God was protecting me. Just as Daniel knew when he was in the lion's den that those lions' mouths were being held shut by the power of God. We get to know God in new ways that we've never known Him before. So if you truly want to know God in new ways, guess what? You're going to go through some storms. They're going to be profitable. There's going to be some favor in those storms because you're going to get to know God in ways that you've never known before. But not only just to get to know Him in new ways. He shapes and molds us during those times that we walk in the valleys of life. That's why David would be able to say that he could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. For Thou art with me. We get to see His hand move. When was the last time that God's hand moved in your life? When was the last time God's hand moved in the life of one of your family members or in the life of a friend? When was the last time you saw God's hand move at all? See, I cry out for Red Sea experiences. I cry out for manna in the morning. I cry out wanting God to do God-sized things that we are so thrown back that we are in awe of who He is. There is favor in the storms of life if we're looking for it. The problem is, if you're like my brother, he's not looking for favor. He's looking for sympathy. He cries the woe with me. He carries his little bottle of beer as a flag of injury. Look how bad my wife has hurt me. Look at what she has driven me to. There is favor in the storms because He is in the process of shaping and molding. Shaping and molding is painful. See, you cannot be on the potter's wheel and be shaped and molded without the pressure of the potter's hands. And when the potter places his hands on that clay to mold and to shape that clay into what he desires, he has to apply pressure. And when he applies pressure, it's not comfortable. It's very uncomfortable. But the clay gets to become something that the potter desired. And when there's a twig in the clay, or a little stone, that wheel has to stop. And the potter has to reach in and dig it out. And when the potter digs it out, I would imagine that the clay is screaming and crying out, "Why are you doing this to me? Why did you stop the wheel? I was in the center of your will and now I'm just a lump of clay again." He shapes and molds us. And He does that for future ministry. In order to build His kingdom, He has to shape and mold our lives into what He desires so that when He uses us in the capacity that He desires, He will get the result that He desires. And that requires pressure on the clay. That requires pressure in our lives. See, He could make us walk the perfect line with one swat of His almighty hand. He could break us instantly and our will would conform to His. But God doesn't desire that. God wants to bend us and to bend us according to His will. And as He bends us, it requires pressure. And that's where the storms of life are in our lives. It comes through adversity. It comes through anger. It comes through guilt. It comes through fear and rejection and loneliness and dealing with the issues of our past. It comes through all of those storms combined. So that when we're in the midst of the storm, we say, "God, I don't understand it. I don't know why. But God, I'm yours. Do with me what you desire." My prayer for my brother is this. God, do whatever you have to do to him. Do whatever you have to do to him to bring him back to you. Do whatever you have to do to him to make him a godly man once again. Because he was a force in your kingdom at one time. God, just put your hands on him. And do with him whatever you desire to do. And that's hard. Because he's already fragile. He's already broken. He's already got stinking thinking. And his heart isn't right and it's not ready to receive. It's not ready to repent. It's hard. We also need to see not only the favor in the storm, but we need to see the foe in the storm. There are foes in the storm. Look with me, please, in verse 10 of our main text. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. This is God. See, sometimes our foe is Satan or the dark forces. Our foe is sometimes Satan. He is the one that is trying to block. He is the one that's trying to create injury. He is the one that's trying to deceive. He is the one that's trying to harm. It's easy to see who the foe is, because if the end result is leading downward, the foe is the dark side. Comes from the dark side. Sometimes our foe is God. Maybe we have stepped away from the path that He has chosen. Maybe we have done something that He's trying to bring us back. Israel had turned away from Almighty God, and now He had become their main enemy. And He was going to take them through places they didn't want to have to go. He was going to bring them right to the brink of the edge of being broken. And then He was going to redeem them once again. Israel went through this cycle over and over and over again, being on the mountaintop and then backsliding and walking in the valley and trusting God once again on the mountaintop and then going through that valley once again. And sometimes our foe is Almighty God Himself. Sometimes He is using the storm of life to discipline us, to chasten us, to scourge us, or to prune us and to take things out of our lives that are unnecessary for His kingdom building. I know God's done that with me. When I've taken a left turn instead of a right turn, or when I haven't followed Him, or when He has directed and I've failed to follow through or failed to initiate, God chastises me. He takes me to the woodshed over and over and over again. And I know He does that with you as well if you're one of His. Because see, God doesn't discipline the devil's children. And you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. It's that simple. You're one or the other. And if you've never given your heart and life to Jesus, then you'd be a child of the devil. It's that simple. God will chastise us and discipline us, but that is always leading upward. Because restoration is always the end result in that. Restoration is what He is desiring in our lives. And that's why when He is the one that is our foe, He is leading us back to His perfect path. So sometimes there is a foe in the midst of all these storms, and we have to determine who that foe is. Is it God? Is it the powers of darkness that's trying to keep me from doing what God wants? Who is the foe in the midst of this storm? And then lastly, we see the friend through the storm. Notice verse 11 with me, if you would, please. Then he, that is God, remembered the days of old. Moses and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? God remembers. And he remembers the reason why he created us in the first place. I'd like to have you look with me in Psalm 103. It's a favorite psalm of many people. It's one of my favorite psalms as well. Psalm 103. Many of you know this as a Thanksgiving psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. For He knows our frame. Notice this. He remembers that we are dust. God remembers the reason that He created us in the first place. God's desire is for us to fellowship with Him. And through that relationship of fellowship, He is the one that's glorified. He is the one that is honored. And that's the reason why He created us, so that He can have glory and honor unto Himself for redeeming something that is imperfect as me and as imperfect as you. He created us in our mother's womb. We are created from dust, and from dust we shall return. But for this short period of time called life, God's purpose is for us to be in a relationship with Him, to bring Him the glory and Him the honor that He deserves. That's the one that is our friend through the storm. He is the one that is wanting the best for us, so that He can work all things together for good, so that He can allow us the privilege of seeing His mighty hand move in our lives and in the lives of our family and in the lives of our friends. But not only does He remember, we remember. We need to remember that God is a God that rescues us in our time of need. God is the one that picks us up and puts our feet on dry ground. God is the one that helps us and enables us and empowers us to accomplish His purpose. We need to remember just how great and how glorious Almighty God is, and what it's like to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God remembers and He wants us to remember. And that's why it says He will not always chide. He will not always, His will and our will not always be the same. But guess who has to change? We do. And that's why He created us in the first place, that through that change, the world might see His almighty hand. In closing, Satan wants to burden us and bury us. But God wants to bless us. I'm reminded of an old story I heard a long time ago about an old donkey. He was out there with the farmer. The farmer was digging a well. And as the farmer was digging a well, he was digging way down, and the donkey was pulling the dirt out and so forth. And the farmer climbed out of the well, and somehow, some way, the old donkey fell into the well. And it's like, how am I going to get this donkey out of this well? So the old farmer looked, and the donkey was looking up, and he was braying, he was crying out. The old farmer thought, you know what, there's no way I'm going to get this donkey out of this well. So he called his neighbors and he told his neighbors the same problem, and they came over and they said, there's no way of getting a donkey out of the well. So one guy suggested, why don't we just bury him right there? So they'd started to do that. And they started backfilling that well, shovelful by shovelful. And as the dirt would fall on that donkey's back, why, he was crying out, he was crying out, what are you guys doing up there, trying to bury me alive? And as they continued to throw dirt down and hit him on the back, his little cries seemed to let up. And they thought, for a moment, that he'd actually died. And they looked down in that well, and to their amazement, that donkey was doing something that they hadn't thought of. Every time they'd throw a shovel full of dirt down and it hit him on the back, he'd shake it off and then he'd take a step up. And they'd throw another shovel full of dirt down and it'd hit him on the back and he'd shake it off and he'd take another step up. And pretty soon they kept on shoveling dirt in there and he kept shaking and he kept stepping up until in a few minutes he jumps out of the well. And see, that's what God wants in our lives. That I won't give up attitude. Because there is security through the storm if we will look for it. Because God wants to show us things that we've never experienced before. And the only way He can is to allow His dear children, whom He loves, whom He sent Jesus to die for, to go through that storm so that He can defend them and provide for them, and that they get to see something new about Him that they never knew before. I think when that dirt hits our back, all we need to do is shake it off and take a step up. Amen? Amen. Let's be dismissed. Father God, You are so good. We thank You that there is security in the storm and that that security comes from only a relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Father God, thank You for these that have come tonight. We pray, Father, a special blessing into their lives. And Father, we pray that we might truly be able to trust You as we go through these storms of life. That we will get to know You in new ways as You are molding us and shaping us for future ministry. And we thank You now and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.